tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Common Ground. This is a place where you get real conversations, real connections, and absolutely no filter. Good day, ladies and gentlemen. I hope everybody today is doing okay. You know what I mean? Here in Colorado, it's actually snowing outside. Man, I had to dig out my dagger car, all the snow. And it's March. Crazy, man. It's crazy to me. By the way, man, tonight's episode, though, is about the growing conflict between the United States, Israel, and Iran. Around the world, people are asking a serious question. Are we moving towards another major global war? History shows us that many world wars started with regional conflicts that slowly pulled other nations into the fight. Tonight, I'm going to break down what's happening, how we got here, and what it could mean for the future, right? But before I jump into the history, I want to say something. I've been seeing online and also hearing on television news, many people have been saying this conflict is really Benjamin Netanyahu's war, arguing that he has wanted the United States to confront Iran for decades. Some commentators claim he could not convince previous presidents, but finally convinced Donald Trump to take military action. Now, one voice who has been saying this for several years is Candace Owens. Don't get me wrong, I'm not a big fan of her, but every now and then I listen to a different perspective just to understand what people are saying. Whether you agree with her or not, this debate about Netanyahu's influence and America's role is something many people are discussing, right? So now, I have five questions to ask that I'm going to ask you, and you need to contemplate and think about these questions really carefully, okay? So, do you believe the United States should become involved in another major conflict in the Middle East? Or should America focus more on domestic issues at home? Do you think diplomacy is still possible between the United States and Iran? Or have the tensions gone too far for peaceful negotiations? Some commentators say this conflict is largely driven by regional rivalries and alliances. Do you believe outside powers stay out of these disputes? How much influence do you think media coverage and political messaging have on public opinion when it comes to war? Looking at history, do you think the world has learned enough lessons from past wars to avoid another global conflict, right? So, I'm going to say this now. Is that these people in power, a lot of times when they want to go to war, this is how I believe, how I feel. They lie to us. They say, I know Pete Hegseth and Donald Trump came on TV and said that Iran is going to attack us. So we're going to attack them first. But history shows, since 1979, I'm not talking about way back during the Persian days, no. But history shows, since 1979, when Iran used their military weapons, right, it's always in defense. It's never in offense. History shows that. You know what I mean? Just like somebody said, I feel like this dude is going to punch me in the face. So I'm going to punch him first. Do you think that will hold up in the court of law? No. When we went to Iraq, I've been to Iraq 2 times. And when we went to Iraq, George Bush came on TV and he said that there is weapon of mass destruction, right? That's what George Bush said. Weapon of mass destruction. So we're going to go to Iraq, invade Iraq, and we're going to get the weapons and control the weapons. Come to find out, there's no weapons of mass destruction. And years later, he never apologized, right? But years later, this man said he had bad intel. And then these presidents of the United States, right, expect for your children to go to war when they're lying to you to your face. They come on TV and they lie to you, right? They expect for your kids to go to war and die. Literally die for this damn country. Who don't, 90% of the time, don't give a goddamn about them. Can we talk about that? People go overseas, right? Go to Iraq, fought in Iraq, overseas. They come back, they get out of the military, and they can't even find a damn job. Look at how many homeless veterans that we have right now across the damn country, right? People that fought for this damn country, but yet they're homeless. These are the type of stuff that we need to be outraged about. You know what I mean? People go overseas, join the military because they want to be patriotic. I remember after 9/11 happened, a lot of people was volunteering, raising their right hand because they want to fight for a bigger cause, right? A lot of people did after 9/11. You remember Pat Tillman, the former football player, right? He left millions of dollars, man. Millions of dollars on the table. On the table to fight for America. You get it. You didn't get killed by a friend of fire. I get it. I understand that. And to me, that was so sad. You know what I'm saying? That damn fucker didn't have a damn weapon on safe. You know what I'm saying? Yes. But the point is, the man joined the military, left the damn football, his football career, and joined the damn military. Because that's what happened, right? We got attacked. You know what I mean? So, yes, people are going to be patriotic. If you mess with America, we're coming for you. Right? You attack us, we're coming for you. But when it's on the shoes on the other foot and you are attacking another country, you understand me? You are attacking another country and you don't think that that other country is going to defend themselves too? You know what I mean? America's supposed to be the greatest country in the world, right? We got great defenses all over, you know what I'm saying, the world, right? Great defense. We can defend ourselves, you know what I'm saying, if you have competent people in front of those weapons, right? We can defend ourselves. You know what I mean? Why don't America always has to be the world police? We're spending so much money, so much dagger money a day on this damn war. So much money a day on this war. According to the news, close to $1 billion a day, $895 million a day. You know what that money could do? That money could feed the damn homeless, right? The same money could probably get all of America to free healthcare. When you think about it, you understand, we got to think about us first, man. I'm not a fan of Marjorie Taylor Greene. Not a fan of the woman by far. But one thing I agree with her on, and I'm going to always stand by this, America first. How can you save other people, right, from other countries, but yet people here in America are suffering? Huh? We got to think about this country right here that we live in and we pay taxes in. We pay taxes in this dagger country. But yet, you want to help other people's country. I'm sorry. Yes, it's rough and harsh. I get it. And I'm sorry for that. But we have to think about us first, man. Not when we have a lot of homeless people on the streets. Not when a lot of people, especially in the rural area, do not have adequate health care to even go to the damn doctor. Think about it, right? I remember when I was young, when I had my first child, and at the time, just for me and her alone, I was only paying close to $300 a month for health insurance. Just for me and her alone, right? But today, imagine you got one child, just you and the child, right? And you don't get no welfare. You don't qualify for any kind of social assistance. So whatever job you get, you got to get health insurance, and you're paying damn near $1,000 a month. That's a lot of damn money for health insurance. You know what I mean? So why not use at least some of that money, right, that you spent over there to take care of the American people? I'm all going to write for America first. I might not have been born in this country, but I live right here. I've been in this country since I was 10. This country had afforded me a pretty decent life. I can't complain, right? Anything other than that, you know what I'm saying? Isn't that right? Because of me. It's not because of America. It's because of me, right? If this ain't not going on with my life, it's because of me, not because of America. May I did not do something right. I'm always put it out there that, you know what I'm saying, we put this country first, man, before we put any other dang country. Because it's not right that we spend all this dang money, you know what I mean? And to me, Israel is on the forefront. Now, I'm going to say something, right, that might not be popular to a lot of people. You know what I'm saying? But some of these y'all so-called Christians are talking about that we need to stand with Israel. Why? Huh? Why do we need to stand with Israel? When I see with my own eyes what Benjamin Netanyahu is doing, even over there in Gaza and all in Palestine, right? Where all the innocent people get killed. And he come on TV, oh well, like he don't care. Huh? Why do we stand with that mess? I'm not for it. And don't call yourself a damn Christian, a so-called Christian, if you say, oh, I'm going to stand with that Israel, but yet did a lot of killing of innocent people on basically both sides of the aisle at the time, right? Both sides of the aisle, but Israel too. Y'all remember those food service people that got killed by the hands of Israel? People that was trying to do the right thing, do good by people. Y'all remember that? But yet y'all want to stand with that mess? I'm not saying politicians. I don't give a damn. It ain't right. It's not right at all. Why should America stand with another country that's killing a lot of innocent people? Huh? But America not innocent either. Right in Iran, those beautiful babies, right? 180 of them in Iran got murdered at a school. Just trying to learn something. Trying to get a little education. And whose fault is it? Is it America's fault? Or is it Israel's fault? It's somebody's fault. Because according to the news, right? The type of weapon, the tomahawk, whatever they use, only like a few countries that uses them, according to the news, and the United States is one of them. So, I say this, right? Who's going to be accountable for the death of those innocent babies? Somebody got to be accountable. I don't give a damn if it's from the American side or the Israel side, but somebody needs to be accountable. You know, when that happened, right? When the Iran war happened, you know what that reminded me of? Two movies. Casualties of War with Michael J. Fox, damn good movie. And Rules of Engagement Those two movies right there that it remind me of when those innocent people got murdered. Right? Why do those little children have to be the casualty of wars, huh? Tell me, why? I thought America was supposed to be so with the rules, right? Have some kind of rules of engagement. That's what I thought. Rules of damn engagement. Come on, man. We need to do better. We need to do better as a nation. You know what I'm saying? America is supposed to be the standard bearer when it comes to the world. You understand me? We're supposed to be up here. But we're not acting like it, though. We're acting like freaking savages. You know what I mean? Those people that they murdered in those boats. I say murdered, yes. Those people that they murdered in those boats months ago. And you think that's okay? So you don't think, when all that's happening, we are gathering a lot of enemies across the world? Why not? How many, within the past maybe 100 years, right? How many countries that America, you know what I'm saying, have made enemies of? Right? We go other countries, we overthrow people, damn government. You know what I'm saying? In 1953, we overthrew the Iran government. Right? They killed Gaddafi, America under Obama, killed Gaddafi in 2011 or something like that. They killed Gaddafi. You see what I'm saying? When will America learn? If we keep doing this stuff, where it's not the rich people that's going to suffer. It's people like you and me. We're going to suffer. Because when these people decide to attack us, you know what I mean? And they're going to attack us when they're in a big crowded area. So, you know, you see what I'm saying? Look out there at the World Trade Center. And they're going to attack us within. When Donald Trump talked about the enemy within, I'm telling you, the enemy within is going to be the enemy that America always trained. Trust me. America always training the enemy. And the same people that are trained, those are the same people that turn against us. That's sad to me. I'm serious though, man. It doesn't really make me frustrated. Because I know that America could do better. And then Congress is so damn complicit. All the Congress, man, I swear to God, man, I said majority of those Congress people need to go. Because a lot of times I'm tired of the Democrats. I would come on Instagram, I'm talking trash about Donald Trump. Right? Nothing happening. I'm tired of the damn Republicans just being complicit against Donald Trump. I'm tired of the mess. You know what I mean? Instead of the realest damn man, this person in. If you don't know this, right, I'm going to school you in some game right now. The president of the United States is supposed to be the face of the country. But over the years, Congress had allowed the president to do whatever they want to do. Do you know who the most powerful person in the whole government is? The Speaker of the House. The Speaker of the House is the most powerful person. If they use the power right, if we got to speak with a backbone, with some nutsack, because nothing move without the Speaker of the House. Nothing at all move at all without the Speaker of the House. If you don't have a Speaker of the House, no legislations, no bills can pass. When will the Speaker take back the power from the President of the United States? When will the Speaker of the House take away some of the power that a president could do? Right? And if the president do not listen, they get rid of him. Impeach him. 25th Amendment. Impeach them. I don't give a damn who it is. A Democrat president, a Republican, I don't care. This is your rules of law, man. I don't care who it is. God, I show no favoritism. Some of y'all so-called conservative, right? Some of y'all like to do that whataboutism. What about what Obama did? What about what Biden did? So freaking what? When you're talking about that, we're talking about right now. We're talking about the right now. Right? Whatever they did back then, does that still make it right? Does it make it right? For what they did? No. That's the difference between a Democratic voter, I believe, and a conservative voter. Especially a Black Democratic voter. Right? A Black Democratic voter, we gonna keep our politicians accountable. We're gonna talk shit. But y'all so-called conservative, y'all wanna defend everything this man does. Whether it's wrong or not. Now, I really do wanna see, right? All y'all MAGA people over there that have grown ass adult kids. Right? Are you happy that you might be sending your kids to war right now? Are you happy about that? That you might be sending your children to die in Iran? Because think about it. Those people in Iran don't play. They're like in Iraq. Those people are willing to die for a cause. Do you think they give a damn about dying? Those people probably be training ever since they were year high. Think about it. And do you really think we're going to defeat those people on their own land? Even if we have more military power, right? No. On their own land? Come on, let's be real about that. About the situation, man. And how many soldiers right now, Marines, Army, if you ever go to hand-to-hand combat with a lot of these damn people, right, are in great shape. Ready to fight to the death if necessary. Suppose if they run out of ammunition and they literally got to fight this for their life and fight for their battle buddies. Come on now. Let's talk about it. See what I'm saying? Those are the type of things that we need to be discussing. I'm saying the way things are going, you know what I mean? And I'm afraid of all my battle buddies, man. They're still in. I ain't lying. People I've been stationed with, I'm afraid for them right now. Because right now, just think about it, right? The war just started a few weeks ago. We done lost 8 soldiers, maybe more. Maybe more. Young soldiers, man. Some of them haven't even really experienced life yet. Because I know when I was in Iraq, and there were soldiers in my unit that never made it back home, man. Young. Early 20s. Right? Just dying for no damn reason. I mean, the IED. Driving. Getting blown up. All that stuff. Dangerous stuff. Those people ain't playing. You know what I mean? Them in Iraq, them freaking the Iraqi putting fishing pole string across below the bridge. You have your neck out. Bam. Next thing you know, your neck, your head is in one of your battle buddies' lap. Think about it. Those type of things happen. Huh? Imagine you be using the battle buddy of somebody and he catching your gunner's head right in your damn lap. Huh? Come on now. Let's talk about it. These are the type of things people don't want to talk about. But those things really happen. So you really think you're going to really defeat those people in their own land? if did a full-fledged war. Huh? That's the type of thing that we need to talk about, man. I mean, I'm against this war. I'm going to say it. I'm against it. Good thing I'm retired now so I can talk about it. Do you really think those soldiers right now, that's in right now, one's going to actually go over there and fight? No, man. Leave his own family, not knowing if they're coming home or not. You don't know that. Right? And then I'll also say something too, man. Sometimes the damn media gets on my damn nerve. Okay. So, Pete Hegseth, right? The Department, the Secretary of Defense. He ordered $93 million in steak and lobster. Why is that such damn news? So fucking what? The one good thing I can say he does, at least feed the damn soldiers maybe the last meal. Because that's where those damn lobster are going, overseas. See, when I was in the military, I was a cook. For 20 years, I did food service in the military. And one thing that brings up a soldier's morale is the meal, right? And throughout my army career, you know what I mean? We couldn't do it all the time because the meals are very expensive, right? But when next to our Thanksgiving meal, steak and lobster meal is our number one meal, right? And below that is soul food meal. But so you give them some steak and lobster, crab legs, all the good stuff, with some corn on the cob, some rice peel off, freaking out asparagus, you know what I mean? Some mashed potatoes and chicken gravy, all the great stuff that we used to cook, right? Have the damn baker baking the food from the pastries from scratch. All that good stuff, man. You know what I mean? The damn cheesecake. All kind of beautiful cake. Dolce de leche. All kind of cake. Hell yeah. So feed the damn soldiers. I ain't mad at that. I'm not mad at that at all. I think that's a good thing because we don't know if those soldiers are coming back. Home. Alive. We don't know. Some of them probably going to come back in a damn casket. Let's be honest about that situation. But no, you don't want to talk about it. That could happen. It could really happen. All right? Let me get on my high horse a little bit. All right, so, like I said, those five questions, think about those five questions, right? So let's talk about some wars now. Let's talk about World War I, right? This was a small event war that happened, that went globally, right, after a while. So, one of the biggest lessons from history is that major wars rarely start as global wars, right? World War I started in 1914 with the assassination of Archduke Franz Ferdinand in Sarajevo. At first, it looked like a regional conflict between Austria, Hungary, and Serbia, right? Now, guess what happened? But because of alliances, one country joined the fight, pulled another country in, and then another. Germany supported Austria, Hungary, Russia supported Serbia, France supported Russia, Britain eventually joined as well, right? And how many people lost their lives back then because of one little incident, huh? Within weeks, what started as a regional dispute turned into a war involving most of Europe and eventually much of the world, man. That's why people today worry when tensions arise between major powers. Sometimes history shows us how quickly situations can spiral beyond anyone's expectation. So that's the way you think about it, right? Iran war. American Israel. So you don't think eventually if the war consists, North Korea is ready to be on Iran's side. And North Korea, they're itching, man. I'm telling you right now, North Korea is itching to get into a fight. They're ready. Trust me. How many years North Korea, Kim Jong-un, whatever his damn name is damn be testing to find his damn missile. They're ready. Those people don't play. We didn't leave them alone. I'm telling you, man. Right now, the man is training his damn daughter to succeed him. His teenage daughter. She gonna be the next super, the next power when he's old and dead. You know what I'm saying? But yet, America just don't realize. We didn't leave people to have alone. Iraq war, right? Intelligent and political decisions. Another comparison many people bring up is the 2003 Iraq war. At the time, the United States government argued that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. Without a freaking lie. George Bush, lie. Many Americans supported the war because they believed those weapons posed as a direct threat to global security. Even me, I believe that crap. It wasn't a man. In 2003, I was in the military. You know what I mean? I didn't get deployed the first time until 2007. By the time I was ready to go anyway. You know what I mean? 2003, I just made specialist in the Army. Just got promoted. February 2003 to specialist. Yeah. I'm ready. However, after the invasion, those weapons were never found. The war lasted for many years, cost trillions of dollars, and had long-term consequences across the Middle East. That experience made many Americans much more cautious about new military conflicts in the region. When people hear about another potential war in the Middle East, they often remember what happened in Iraq. Now think about it, right? We've been in Iraq and Afghanistan for damn near 20 years, right? And what really happened over there? Didn't have, right? 20 years damn near. We don't mess up the country. Right? The regime is no better. You know what I'm saying? The regime isn't no better. And you don't think those people are plotting right now against America? Come on now. Y'all better wake the fuck up. Y'all better wake the hell up. Now, the Cold War, right? During the Cold War, the United States and the Soviet Union were rivals for decades. Both countries had nuclear weapons capable of destroying the planet many times over. Think about it. Imagine if both countries decided to use nuclear weapons, right? The world's doomed. Despite the tension, the two powers avoided direct war with each other. Instead, they competed politically, economically, and through proxy conflicts in other parts of the world. Proxy war. Yeah, I know y'all heard about proxy war, when we give other countries weapons and money to fight war that we should fight. The reason they avoided direct war was simple mutual destruction. Leaders on both sides understood that a direct military conflict could have catastrophic consequences for humanity, right? This is why diplomacy and communication between powerful nations remain extremely important today. So let's talk about this, right? Russia and America got nuclear weapons, right? Imagine if you get a president or one of these world leaders who's very unhinged and say, I'm going to, bam, lay this shit out. Look what happened during Pearl Harbor. Whether Truman, whatever president was back then, right? We are the only country that ever used nuclear weapon. Only country, right? That ever used nuclear weapon on any other country. So imagine if you get a president who don't have it all up here. You know what I'm saying? Like the one we have right now. And nobody can control a president. The world is doomed. That's our fear right now. The world is doomed. All right. So let's do a little bit of history lesson, right? I know one time on one of my podcasts, I also discussed this, but I just feel as though that this needs to be talked about again. Now, the early relationship between America and Iran remained cooperative, right? Now, before 1979, the United States and Iran, we were actually allies back then, right? Iran was ruled by Shah Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, and his government worked closely with the United States, right? Politically, economically, and militarily. America saw Iran as a stable partner in the Middle East and an important country to help countries contain Soviet influence during the Cold War, right? Because the Middle East right there, close to Russia, I guess. Yeah, close to Russia. So guess what? You know what I'm saying? Perfect to have military base over there or be allies with them. Then the Cold War happened, right? The Cold War politics strengthened the United States' influence. During the Cold War, the United States was trying to stop the spread of communism, particularly from the Soviet Union. Iran sat in the very strategic location between the Soviet Union and the Middle East. Because of that, America invested heavily in Iran's military and economy, seeing the country as a key ally against communist expansion, right? And that's the thing, right? We're all trying to police the whole world. Why only America? All trying to police the whole damn world. And y'all wonder why America has a lot of enemies. We need to stop minding our damn business, man. You see what I'm saying? Mind our business, make sure our defense is up to par so we can defend ourselves. But we need to mind our damn business. Seriously, though. Leave other countries alone. Now, the United States supported Iran's Shah dual intentions. One of the most controversial moments happened in 1953. Here goes the CIA. They support a coup that removed Iran's democratically elected Prime Minister, Mohammad Mossadegh. Mossadegh had nationalized Iran's oil industry, which angered Western governments. After the coup, the Shah gained stronger power, and many Iranians later blamed the United States for interfering in their country's democracy. Think you see? Right? Right now, America done killed the Ayatollah, their leader. Yeah, a lot of people are happy, but a lot of people up there are very pissed right now that America done did that. And one thing with these countries, they like to play the damn long game. They do. By the time something crazy happens, Donald Trump won't be in power anymore. I'm telling you, man. These people like to play a long game. Bin Laden, I saw that in a documentary. Right? Bin Laden, I've been playing the long game since the 1980s. Think about it. Since the 1980s, Bin Laden have been playing the damn long game, ready to attack America. Right? Over 20 years. This man has been playing the damn long game. You see what I'm saying? I hope, man, some of y'all that's traveling, man, especially in the Middle East, if you can get your damn money back. And all your damn airlines, because I was listening to that radio the other day, and one lady came on the radio, and she was venting because she was supposed to go to Dubai. And when the war kicked off, she wanted to cancel flight. And her damn airline, Emirates, didn't want to give the woman her damn money back. Give the damn woman her money back, man. Who wants to travel to the Middle East right now? You'd be a damn fool to travel across to those countries right about now. Hell no. Nah. Crazy. Nope, nope, nope. Now, the Iranian people eventually opposed the Shah's rule, right? Although the Shah modernized part of Iran's economy, many Iranians believe his government was corrupt, authoritarian, and too closely aligned with Western powers. His secret police, known as SAVAK, were accused of suppressing political opposition and dissent. Over time, dissatisfaction among religious groups, students, and working class citizens grew stronger. Now, here's the kicker. Now, the revolution, right, in 1979 completely changed the relations between America, right? In 1979, a massive protest forced the Shah to flee the country. A religious leader named Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini returned from exile and established an Islamic Republic. The new government rejected Western influence and strongly criticized the United States, which it viewed as responsible for supporting the Shah's dictatorship. Now, right, as time went on, the new Iranian leadership rejected American political influence. After the revolution, Iran's new leader promoted a political system based on Islamic governance rather than Western democracy. They accused the United States of exploiting Iran's resources and interfering in its politics. From that moment forward, the relationship between the two countries became openly hostile. But at the same time, though, since 1979, whenever, Iran has never attacked America, not once. The relationship between both nations quickly deteriorated afterward. Diplomatic relations collapsed almost immediately. After the revolution, the new Iranian government cut ties with the United States and began portraying America as a major enemy. This hostility eventually led directly to the embassy hostage crisis. The hostility between governments continued through multiple decades. Over the next four decades, the United States and Iran repeatedly clashed over issues like nuclear development, regional influence, and support for different political groups across the Middle East. The two nations have not had formal diplomatic relations since 1980. Right? These countries view America as the enemy. Because we don't know how to tell other people business, man. Right? The legacy of 1979 still affects diplomacy today. Even today, when negotiations happen between the two countries, the memory of the revolution and the hostage crisis still influence political decisions. It's created a long-lasting psychological and political divide between the governments. The government. Now, let's go down a little bit further, right? Iran nuclear program, right? Let me discuss this a little bit. The Iranian government insists their nuclear program peaceful. Iran claims its nuclear program is designed for civilian purposes, like energy production and scientific research. Many countries operate nuclear power plants for electricity without developing weapons, right? The United States fear Iran could build weapons. The concern from the United States and its allies is that nuclear technology used for the energy can also be used to produce nuclear weapons. And that's what happened when last summer, when America attacked Iran, claimed that they destroyed Iran's nuclear program, a nuclear point. Right? Did they really destroy it? That's a good question. Do we know that to be a fact? Just because they say so? Right? You don't think. Because the one thing about Donald Trump, he's going to speak his mind, right? And he's going to talk about before he attacked a country, right? He's going to discuss that. So you don't think, I'm just trying to use my brain a little bit, that Iran, those countries, pay attention to what's going on in other countries' government? You don't think if Iran knew that they're going to attack you, you don't think you move your weapons, you move your stuff somewhere and hide it somewhere? I don't know. I'm just saying. Right? Now, after a while, the Israeli government considers Iran a major threat. So Israel, right, views Iran as one of the biggest national security threats. For decades, man, Israel has been trying to get Iran. Iranian leaders have made strong statements criticizing Israel, and Israel worried about Iran gaining advanced military capabilities. for decades, Israel have been trying to get Iran and use America. And you know who's going to get the brunt of everything? It's not those rich-ass people. It's poor people, the average citizen of America. When those people are ready to attack. I'm telling you. And think about it, right? And it doesn't have to be people that live in Iran. It could be people that live right here who believe in their cause to do some crazy stuff. You understand what I'm saying? To do some crazy stuff. That's just like what happened at a at a bar in Texas a few weeks ago, right after the war started, right? And then what happened again when a damn dude from Lebanon went to a ROTC place and killed a damn instructor. You see what I'm saying? Those people that believe in the cause. I'm telling you right now, things are going to get worse before it gets better. I really believe that. I really believe that. I don't believe that that we should have went into this war, man. I don't believe it. Trust me. I mean, I'm against this crap. So, when we look at history, we see a pattern that repeats itself again and again. Nations rise, tensions grow, alliances form, and sometimes leaders make decisions that shape the future for generations. Many war began with people believing the conflict would be short. Right? What did Donald Trump said? Oh, the war is going to last 2 weeks. They changed mind. The war is going to last 5 weeks. And some of y'all believe that crap, man. When will y'all learn? Stop believing when this man speaks. Because 75% of the things that come out of his mouth be lies. Limited or control, right? But history shows us that once the machinery of war begins moving, it can be very difficult to stop. The hope for all of us is that leaders around the world remember those lessons. Because in today's world, with advanced technology and nuclear weapons, the consequences of a global conflict will be unlike anything humanity has ever experienced. That's why conversations like this matter. Understanding history helps us recognize the stakes of presence and the importance of responsible leadership, man. I'm telling you right now, right? You know what I mean? That's why on both sides of the aisle, right? If you're a Republican, if you're a Democrat, I know a lot of y'all right now out there, especially a lot of y'all that have the platform, right? Should be speaking out against this stuff, man. Cause it's not gonna get better. It's gonna get worse. Since the war started, how many damn military base in the Middle East that Iran done targeted? Huh? How many? Quite a few. And I don't think it's gonna slow down anytime soon. I really do not think so. I'm telling you right now, this is a war that we shouldn't have getting into at all. We didn't need to get into this damn war. You understand me? We should not. We do not need to get into this war at all, because a lot of things are going to happen, which I'm afraid of, man. I'm afraid of. And to all you people out there, now listen to it. Make sure you're vigilant. Be aware of your surroundings. I know you can't stop the inevitable. You can't. But at least be aware. And I really believe the media is very complicit. A lot of the media, they are very complicit of what's going on. Instead of a lot of them to denounce it, they want to defend what's going on. Because they don't care, because they're not the one that's going overseas to fight. A lot of their family probably not the ones that are going overseas to fight. You know, you see what I'm saying? I wonder right now. You see, ever since the presidency ended, right? The presidential whatever ended, right? Nikki Haley has been quiet. Her husband is in the military. I don't know. I wonder why she haven't came out and say something. Her husband is a damn soldier. Her husband could die over there. Right now. He can send her husband to war. Think about it. She ran against him for the presidency, right? She ran against Donald Trump for the presidency. Her husband is in the reserve, National Guard, wherever he's in, right? He's in the military. You see what I'm saying? Donald Trump could be petty. Yeah. I know he's a petty man. I'd be like, I'm going to activate Nikki Haley's unit, Nikki Haley's husband unit, and send their ass overseas. Let them go there and fight. I'm telling you. Y'all think this is a damn joke. But this is no joke to me. I mean, if you've never been in the military, you'll never understand what soldiers go through. Never. It doesn't matter if you got a family member in the military. You never understand what soldiers go through. The early mornings, the late nights, the training in 10-degree weather, sometimes below 0 degrees, or the training in 120-degree weather, 100-degree weather, hot-ass weather, training. You're in the field training exercise, getting bitten by them mosquitoes, trying to sleep on the damn cot. Right? And mosquitoes are biting your ass. Right? Just getting stung. The damn mosquitoes getting you. You know what I mean? I'm telling you. That's part of what soldiers go through. And to all you soldiers out there, veterans, before I go, I thank you so much for your service. Thank you for tuning into Common Ground. Until next time, keep the conversation going.
You're tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.